Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast, creating pathways, connecting people to Christ, to others, to purpose. Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast. Jesus is the way. That's what we say around here. Everything else is a conversation, and we're having conversations about the New Testament these last, well, last week and this week, right? We're just starting it out. So Jeremy and Deli are in studio.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you, fellas.
Good to see you guys.
Kind of exciting about moving through the New Testament. I know the last couple of Sundays, the Sunday messages have been kind of a precursor to what we're going to read. And so what we're also trying to do for listeners, if you're not caught up with what we're doing here, is the particular Wednesday, whatever the five chapter readings would be through that week, we're looking at the middle of those five. For example, last week was chapter 3, this week, chapter 8. And, you know, moving forward, and kind of having a little kickoff midweek discussion on this as well. So today we're looking at chapter 8. What's hitting you? What's hitting you guys in chapter 8?
Well, the whole connection of really, it feels like the simplicity of doing a chapter a day and having an expectation of what we're going to hear on Sunday. It's been a long time for me that we've done that. Mm-hmm. And I've not been part of that last time we did it here at Christway. And so that's just really refreshing. Mm-hmm. And I think from somebody who speaks sometimes, relieving. because it's just that, you know, that system and moving forward and the context. And anytime I've taught, I've always felt like where we've been is so important about where we're going, and now that those things just tie together and flow, that makes it really
exciting.
It helps
with subtraction. I think it helps for truly community,
right,
to move forward in that way. Yeah,
I think of the pace too that you're kind of reflecting on it. Like the pace is, it's just good. You know, when you've said it like 52 weeks, five chapters a week. You know, you got a couple catch up days in there as well, but the pace of, I mean, just this morning, I was reading chapter 8 or kind of rereading it, and I was like, man, there's a lot in here. There's a lot in this chapter, and you could spend some time, but I think taking your time going through it, I mean, it takes 5 minutes to listen to. I looked at it, 5 minutes and 27 seconds to listen to chapter 8, you know. And
okay, so that's funny. So what I'm thinking of today, I was in the car quite a bit this morning, and so I'm listening to it, and I'm wanting to listen as a refresher, you know, before we talk about it. And so apparently I could never listen for more than 5 minutes because something would happen and I'd have to get out, do something, or a phone call, or have to, you know, something interrupted every single, I was running some
5 minutes of solace.
I was running some errands, whatever. And then, now, I don't know if you knew this, little known information, as soon as you get back in and start it over, it starts over.
It starts over.
It starts over. So I heard it. And when Jesus came down from the mount, I heard that like a half seven dozen times today.
So that's what Andy needed to hear coming down.
So I listened and I'm like, you know, and I was thinking, like, I've heard the first 13 verses a half a dozen times this morning. And that's still probably not enough. Right. Yeah. There's stuff coming out the entire time. Mm-hmm. On Sunday's message, which you can listen to at Christway.net, was titled What He Said. And we were talking about through the Beatitudes, those counterintuitive things that Jesus says, like you've heard it said this way, but I say to you, I don't know, do that 6-7 times, right? Eight times in the Sermon on the Mount. And then the last piece was something that he says here in the first couple chapters first couple verses of chapter 8, which I relish, I celebrate, I so grateful for, right? That The leper comes up to him and he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And then, frankly, when I presented this on Sunday, I hadn't thought this. Like, this hit me as I looked at the scripture.
Oh, yeah.
That was the third thing he did. Jesus speaking was the third thing. Mm-hmm. And that hit me real time, standing in the pulpit on Sunday. Jesus reached out his hand. He touches him, right?
What about when you mentioned we all kind of come to the Lord, whether it's in prayer, with two questions. Are you willing? Are you able?
Yeah.
Was that a fresh thought? No, that
is not a fresh thought for me. That's something that I got traction from years ago, that, you know, Jesus is not only able, but he's willing. The man asks for a healing, and I think I misspoke a moment ago. The healing was the third thing that he did.
Right.
The first thing was a touch, which to a leper, since when was he touched? And then to just say, you know what, man, I am willing. And what kind of flood of faith and hope and life sprung through the heart of that leper, heart healed before body healed.
Right.
You know, and that whole idea of Jesus, the things that he says, I think sometimes it's a little sidebar. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's right on track. But I feel like in the last few years, I've realized that I believe many times in church, we seem to think that we're more compassionate than God is. More compassionate than he is. Now, we would never say that. And if we had a test, we would never miss that question. But in practice, the way we pray, it's almost as if, come on, God, come on. I know you don't really want to do this, but if you just would, come on, right? Like we care more than he does.
Yeah.
And this verse, so beautiful, right? I am willing to heal you. I think that's powerful and profound. And as I was reading through this chapter, it just struck me all the miracles. All the miracles. And I began to just write down, type in my phone, the types of power and the types of demonstration that Jesus showed. It made me think of John. If you're familiar with John's writings, he said near the very end, verse chapter 20, 21 in there, he said that these signs were given to you so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and through faith in his name have eternal life, right? Those signs, and people would say there's seven signs that John chose, seven miracles. The resurrection maybe being an eighth, right? But those signs to show Jesus' power over everything. Everything. And that's what I thought of when I looked at this. So in chapter 8, you've got a guy with leprosy. Leprosy gets healed. The next thing is the centurion, right? Paralysis gets healed. Then Peter's mother-in-law, fever gets healed. Then he connects with the two guys, the demon-possessed dudes, right? And those guys get healed. There's a storm that gets calmed in the whole process, right? So Jesus' power displayed over like big time things, right? Not like I have a headache, right? Or you know, I'm a little bummed out today.
And I think one thing is also the variety of the way that he's healing them, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Man, that's what I think too. Yeah. Like the variety of him touching a leper, right?
Touch
that's what you
leper,
kind of mentioned, right?
Right?
He spoke,
and the guy and the servant was
Not near. He was not close.
Far away.
He couldn't hear him. Yeah. He couldn't hear him. Okay, and so he's
and
not
was
there.
Healed from that moment.
And he reaches out and he touches the hand of the mother-in-law. Like she didn't need. Again, she didn't need.
You know
to
what struck me about that?
Yeah,
she had a fever.
Yeah, like it was not
but
that big.
I would have touched. Well, I mean, where he touched, like I would have touched your head.
Yeah,
for
head.
Fever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because that's where the power needs to be.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that, you know, that's what I would have done. And as I was listening to it, I thought, but he just reached out and touched her hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to look at where it was. It might have been another gospel. I feel like when he healed the leper, like he even looked with compassion. I feel like it said another. Like he saw him with compassion, and that was another thing. Like when did somebody look at this leper and with compassion? Right. It was more of fear and anxiety and stress.
Sure.
Yeah,
Think of the face.
That's in Mark where he says, you know,
I thought it was in Mark.
And I'm sitting wondering. How much of these, all these miracles were Jesus removing an obstacle that prevented connection to him?
Yeah.
And that leper, especially, it's like that touch.
Yeah. What a great
maybe point. The leper might have been satisfied with, oh my, here is somebody who will see me as a human and value me and touch me. Mm-hmm. And at that point, might not even care to be healed.
Yeah.
Healed. You know, if you're willing, you can make me clean because I want connection with people. And Jesus goes right into what he wants and gives him that first. Like,
touch,
I want the storm. This storm is the distraction at that point. And Jesus removes the distraction, removes that from his life. Even the centurion is my servant, my guy is not able to do the things that, you know, I'm. This paralysis is taking him from me. Jesus removes the thing that keeps
people apart.
Keep people apart. Mm-hmm. And took her hand. He is making the connection with her, and the fever leaves. In a time of pandemic, and it's like, mom's not feeling well, so I'm not going to go visit. Mm-hmm. That's actually today. My mom's not feeling well, so Dad and I are going to meet outside of visiting her. Mm-hmm. And so that thought of what is inhibiting our connection with one another, and Jesus is like, whatever that is, I want to connect with you. In all of these, that's what it just mm-hmm. feels like. Jesus wants to connect with you, and if there's something in the way, whether it's a demon or a storm or an illness, we want to move past that. We want to conquer that. We can conquer that to create this connection.
And even I even think of race. Like, you think of a centurion, right? He's a Roman mm-hmm. soldier who is they are like, right, as
an enemy
of this entire area that is controlling this area, oppressing this area. And he's like, no, actually, what does it say? I was trying to read that. He says that he says, shall I come and heal him? So when just reading those four or five words, shall I come and heal him, we just go right to, okay, he's going to heal this guy. But just, shall I come? Like, a Jewish person is not going to go to a Roman centurion's home, a Gentile Roman home. Like, he's just not going to.
Right.
And that's just, we look right past that. We glaze right over it, because he's pushing past this barrier of like, actually, I'm going to go to your home and enter your house and heal this person.
Yeah.
Well,
oppressor.
Would you like me to?
Oppressor.
Would you like me to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be there if you'd like me to be there. Would you like me to be there? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So these are great. I'm thinking somebody's pulling a sermon from this one for sure.
We're on verse 5.
Well, think about, okay, let's look at outcasts. Let's look at the outcasts.
Yeah.
The leper's the outcast.
Mm-hmm.
The mother-in-law is a woman. Mm-hmm. Outcast.
The mother of
the mother.
Woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, the mother,
right? You know, so it's a
woman. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's culturally, right? Mm-hmm. Not acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The centurion, clearly, the Gentile oppressor.
Right.
Outcast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having 6,000 demons can put you in the outcast category,
too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Living in the tombs is...
Well, and it said they were... This particular Matthew's take on it was they were so violent mm-hmm. that people couldn't pass through. And I don't recall reading that in the other gospel, you know, but they're so violent that people couldn't even pass through. Big time, no trespassing, right? For the leper, the centurion, the woman, and the demons.
You're not having a pleasant,
uplifting
conversation.
And that, what a great match. And Matthew saying he is Jesus, King, Messiah, right? King over these things, King over paralysis and demons mm-hmm. and fever and leprosy. A lot of these were probably, well, even today, paralysis, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you're paralyzed. So what about it? Gonna change? No. Right? Some unchanging things. Yeah. Even though, I mean, maybe we're reaching here. I don't know. It doesn't feel like that. But the weather. I was talking to a guy today. He was talking about recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, how do you think I'm doing? And I said, man, I think you're doing great. I said, how do you think you're doing? He said, I think I'm doing great. I said, well, good, but here's the deal. It's like sailing. Mm-hmm. I said, a storm hit me one time, and I never saw it coming. I was bailing water. Melinda and I were actually pretty nervous. It was a pretty dangerous situation. And we got out of that. And you know what I know? There'll be another one coming. Yeah. Now, I don't know when. Sometimes you can see it and sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm telling this guy. Like, sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. But you don't control the weather. And Jesus says, oh, I can. Mm-hmm. What? These things that are fully out of our control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know you can't control a mother-in-law. I just had to throw it in. Apologies.
Yeah. Well, and I again going back to the centurion, the centurion is recognizing the authority that Jesus has, right? He's describing, well, I'm a soldier. I have soldiers underneath me. I recognize that I can tell them to do whatever I want them to do. But he's like, and I'm recognizing your authority to be able to heal and say things, and it happens. And again, the fact that he's a Gentile, right? He's a Gentile that's recognizing the authority.
Well, Jesus acknowledges it clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what does he say, right? He says, wow, amazing that you...
He's amazed.
Yeah, he's literally amazed. And it says that. Jesus is amazed. I don't know how you can amaze Jesus, but this guy did. And I think that, I don't know, I was kind of reflecting on that when he's talking about, you know, be his children. You know, like, they don't know anything. The centurion, he probably doesn't know a whole lot, but he knows the authority and the simplicity of it.
You know, something that amazes, what amazes me is when something comes out of somebody and you're like, this came out of that person, when we're around other people and it's not coming out of
them. Yeah.
So, again, a recovery story. What I've observed through the years of working with people with serious substance use, I mean broken felonies, prison time, all of that. We'll say, Deli, you're the prison guy in recovery and substance use disorder. And Jeremy, you're the normie is what they call you, the normie. So, you know, you've got kids. Those kids work hard. They never see you. You're in jail sometimes. You're drunk a lot. Mm-hmm. Deli, right? And those kids don't see you, and they have straight A's, and they work hard, and they're polite, and then Jeremy, you have kids, and they're not those things, right? And I see that stuff. Now, what amazes me is when I see it out of Deli, your kids in that scenario, right? Mm-hmm. Because it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
It should be the other way. And then you see when you're given a particular hand, and then you rise above that in some way. That's what's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not amazing for Jeremy's kids to be those.
Yeah, no.
But amazing when you're the Gentile and that comes out of you.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, you look through all of Israel and there it's not there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then I immediately fast forward that a couple thousand years to my own life and think, you know, what is coming out of me that would inspire the Lord, that the Lord would, and not for his favor and, you know, brownie points or whatever, but just like, is there anything that I'm allowing him to call me into? Or what does my faith look like? During discovery this past weekend, it's a question that I asked myself for years. Is there anything about my walk with God that anyone would want at all? Like, would they hear me pray? Would they see how I go through a situation? And see anything at all, right? And Jesus looks at this guy and he says, amazing. You shouldn't even have this, but you do. And I acknowledge it. And I love that he acknowledges the flowers that grow up out of the ground that shouldn't be bringing up.
Have anything fertile at all.
The light that is in us that maybe we don't see in one another, that's what that connects to me. We talked about being the light and the salt of the world and seeing. Sometimes it seems like we are blind to the light of one another. Yeah. And so when you see it in a place that you don't expect it, maybe that's because you've not been looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, or you wouldn't expect to see. The other part of that I've wondered is as the light, you know, being the light of the world, we'll go back a couple chapters, but that in all of these people, the demonic goes and he's really makes a big impact on his community after he's been healed.
Big time.
The stories that start to spread because of these people who have encountered Jesus, and then their life has changed, and then they start changing the lives of others and start being that light in dark places. Can we get used to the light?
Oh,
you know, of course. I think where it's like, I don't know my own value, and you know that. Does anybody want that walk? My walk with the Lord. Well, I can't experience you experiencing me, so I don't necessarily know. I struggle with that a lot, where it's like I don't know that I have. Why does anybody value anything that I could give them? And that's probably the enemy in me, the enemy attacking my spirit and saying you are not valuable and you have nothing of value. And that's not true. I bring the light and the salt with me. But since I always had the light and the salt, I can't.
You are the light.
Yeah, I am the light and salt. I don't.
It's not like there's you and then salt in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like you are
right.
The salt. You are the light. There's a, not, I mean, this controversial, whatever, it wouldn't be the first time here, right? So my understanding of the word namaste, is that it is capturing this idea of the light in me acknowledges the light in you. Mm-hmm. Now, I was in a church. It was Houston area, so southern church. This is a few years ago. And they had four different sections, you know, just normal auditorium, four different big sections. And there might have been 400 people in there. So I, at the beginning of my message, I just went to the far left section and I put my hands together in a prayer sign, you know, and I bowed to them and I said, Namaste. And I went to the next section, Namaste. And went all the way through the four sections, you know. I don't know what they thought. Maybe I was a yogi. I don't know what they might have thought. But I did that intentionally because I wanted to talk about that point right there. Yeah. I wasn't trying to do yoga or Eastern anything. If the phrase means the light in me acknowledges the light in you, then that's what I was going to talk about. Yeah, right? Yeah. The light, even the life, right? The spirit that Charlie Manson had, life.
Yeah.
Scripture tells us goes back to God from whence it came. Mm-hmm. Now, Holy Spirit, salvation, all those kinds of things, that might be another podcast episode.
Yeah, okay? Right.
But every single human being has the Spirit of God as life, the pneuma, the breath, right? And so to just simply acknowledge that, I think, is a game changer.
Right.
For the value of every single person, right? And then what we bring when we connect with him in an intentional way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so the centurion, the demonic, the leper, the mother, I think Jesus is connecting with them and removing the obstacles that's what his miracles are about. Mm-hmm. They're be full of life.
Yeah.
And let that light shine, and if it's sickness, if it's oppression, if it's a storm, Jesus is willing, I think, to
remove. Don't those stories feel so accessible?
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't they feel accessible? Like, there was no bouncer at the door, right? Right. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I know you want to see Jesus, but tomorrow at 4:00. Like, that's not what we heard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't as if, and even a few times in the scripture, the disciples, like, try to be the guard. Mm-hmm. You know, even for kids, they try to guard, you know, don't let the kids. He's like, let the kids come here. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's so just accessible.
Right. Yeah, the only verse that isn't the accessibility is that one where he's like, foxes have holes and Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. And he's talking to somebody who's self-selecting out, right? He's doing that.
That was a teacher of the law.
Yeah,
I'll follow you everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, then get ready.
Yeah, and then in, and I think, is it Luke that he's like, well, let me go bury my father is where that parallel, you know, it's like, I'm here, accessible, I'll remove whatever obstacle, but if you're not, if you're not willing, then that's the only time you see Jesus as being inaccessible is because we have chosen to not move towards him.
Or and what I even wrote here in my Bible is like the like worth it. Like, is he worth more than those things? Mm-hmm. Like that's what where again it's like it's myself. Am I seeing him as more? Am I seeing him as more than those things to follow, like, and to trust and have faith in? And that's where, that's exactly right here in verse 21 in chapter 8. Another disciple said to him, Lord, let me first go ahead and bury my father. And Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And I'm like, man, that's that's hard. Am I thinking that he is more than all the things? Is he Lord over everything?
I mean, dead people don't bury but dead people.
That's not what that means, right?
So these folks need to have a ceremony, so let some other dead guy bury the dead guy, right? That's not it. So we have to think about what does that mean as far as my life toward him?
Yes. Yeah.
And then I guess moving in even to chapter 9, he heals the paralytic again. Right. But in this scenario, he's like, your sins are forgiven. And then this is interesting too. All the religious leaders that just kind of like, they're like hanging around the back doors of the theater, you know? Mm-hmm. They're just like groupie.
Peeping through the door a little bit. Like what's going on in there?
They can tell something's going on.
Yeah.
And then they just bust him. They're like, what in the world is going on? You know? And start throwing ash in the air and tearing their clothes. Like, But he's, again, removing the needed barrier. Mm-hmm. What, I'm going to forgive your sin. I'm going to forgive your sin. I'm going to take that away. And then right after that, it just continues, right? He has this whole thing. He calls Matthew. So Matthew, the celebrated writer of the book, right? Mm-hmm. In 9, he's called from the seat of custom, right? The tax collector. And then immediately goes and eats at his house, right? That's what's going on. So follow me, he says to Matthew, verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9. And then while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house.
Yeah.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Let's not overlook that.
Yeah.
Let's not overlook that he.
No time to go home and straighten up.
He called and he said, hey, bro, come follow me. Okay. Yeah. Matthew didn't have to. He does immediately. And then Jesus ends up, step one of discipleship with Jesus. Let's go have dinner. Goes to his house.
Yeah.
Goes to his house. Wonder if Jesus didn't have a house, so he'd have to go to your house. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, he does, right? Yeah. So he goes to our house. He goes to Matthew's house, and then everybody else shows up. The tax collectors and the sinners. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So much to the point that, again, the religious...
Weinbiber and
you're
hanging out with the drinkers and the partiers.
Hang out with those guys.
Yeah. Yes, right. And that was what was going on, and that was the plan, the purpose, the path, the entire time. Right? Mm-hmm. He's going to see him. I just love how that unfolds.
Yeah, and the unfolding all the way to the end of that little section.
I just love how, on hearing this,
Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." And so go learn and learn what this means.
Learn what it means. He said, I want mercy, not sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right? And right after that, the disciples of John apparently didn't hear that because they're like, why aren't your guys fasting?
Yeah.
Why aren't you guys sacrificing? Which when we go back into chapter 5 and 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about you guys fast.
Yeah.
You guys pray. But you don't do it for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And I don't know you. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Right? Yeah. So Jesus, who he knows and who he doesn't know. And I just love the contrast where he just simply walks by Matthew, says, come follow me. He gets up, he goes. I don't know, it doesn't seem like there's any time at all transpires before he's having lunch at Matthew's house. Mm-hmm. And not just that, everybody shows up. Mm-hmm. How welcoming, how beautiful. What a beautiful culture.
Yeah.
Everyone shows up, the tax collector, the sinner, and they're accepted. Yeah. And all those... what you said to your earlier point, Jeremy, all these blocks that are in the way, all these things that are obstacles and hindrances, not there.
Not to Jesus.
Not there. And he doesn't wait. Yeah. It's not like, hey, good to see you at church on Sunday, and can we get together? Yeah, talk to my secretary, and let's get something on the books for, you know, what
fit
are we
fit you in at 2 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking like February something. Nah. So cool.
Invades. It just comes right in.
So cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, guys.
We're out of time. Not ready to be done.
Out of time. So, hey, man, how about praying?
Yeah,
how about praying over us for just that whole heart of that accessibility?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Father, I thank you for invading. I thank you for invading our lives. And Lord, I pray right now as... people are listening as they are tuning in and reading your word and reading these stories, this life of Jesus and who he was and why he came, Lord, that they just feel invaded that you just don't ask us to tidy things up, that you don't ask us to put things in these boxes and leave everybody at arm's reach, but you just come in close and you touch us. And so, Lord, I thank you for the accessibility for you to just touch us. To speak a word of healing, to speak, to heal us from the inside out, to just surpass all boundaries, surpass all thoughts and connotations of things that we think are what that should be there, and you just tear them down. And Lord, I pray that we continue to read and hear and listen and listen to the grace that you have, that you give freely. The healing that you give freely to every single person, Gentile, Jew, there's none, there's no difference, male, female, every single person. And I pray that we can just think upon those things, meditate on these scriptures this week. Lord, we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful prayer, man.
Amen.
So yesterday, this week at church, Justin came out and he was commenting to me about the message and such. And one of the things he said, oh man, he said, I hope everyone reads slowly enough through the week to really chew and really think and really ponder and let the Lord speak to them and prompt things in them. So that's our hope as well. And hopefully our conversation today is giving you some support in that journey. Know that we love you. Thanks for joining us. Again, you can catch these preemptive messages on Christway.net, but we plan to be here with you every Wednesday talking about a chapter at a time. So until then, thanks so much for being with us. Take care.